Blog Talk Radio.
Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? We gon' do it like this. That's how you ready, check it. I got 7 back 11, about 8, 38, 9, 9, 10, max 10. The shit never ends. You can't touch my riches, even if you had MC Hammer and the 357 bitches. Biggie Small, the millionaire, the mansion, the yacht, the 2 weak spots, the 2 hot blocks. That's how I got the weed spot. I shot Dredd in the head, took the bread and the lamb spread. Little Patty got the shotty to your body, so don't resist, or you might flip Christmas. I tote guns, I make number runs, I give MCs the run stripping. When I throw my clip in the AK, I slay from far away. Everybody hit the DECK. My slow flow's remarkable. Peace to Mateo. Now we smoke weed like Tony Montana, sip the yayo. That's crazy blunt. Bad hell, my voice excels from the avenue to jail cells. Oh my god, I'm chopping shit like a pigeon. I hope you're listening, smacking babies at their christening.
But today's show is pretty much 9/11. This is the show paying tribute to Tupac, which tomorrow would mark the 14-year anniversary of his passing. So all the music today is going to be music from Tupac. You know, some I played already, some I haven't played yet. And like I said, we have a real, you know, crazy, heated, not even heated, but it's real in-depth, you know, with talk. We're getting our views across and everything like that. I'm pretty much waiting for everybody else to get here and anything like that. But for those, you know, online, how was the parade? You know, were you there? What you do? Where was you at? Did you see me? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I was all over the place. I was up and down the parkway. So, you know, I was pretty much, like I said, all over the place. I'll give you a quick recap of our Gunmasters of the Week, though. You know, while I'm at it before we get back into combo. Petey Pablo. Anybody remember him? His dumbass, I guess, you know, trying to get publicity or something again, was on his way to the MTV Awards, and I still don't understand why the hell he was going there in the first place. Some people say he was going to network, try to shop another deal, whatever, but who the hell sent this nigga invitation? Somebody at MTV probably should be suspended for that shit. But anyway, he tried to take a gun on the plane, and, of course, he gonna get through, got arrested, so right now he's in lockup. He'll be watching the VMAs from himself, you know. Once again, rappers, entertainers, you know, people who want to be in the public light. The law's not playing with y'all. They're not playing. The cops aren't playing. They're not going to let you off because you got X amount of money or you did X amount of movies, whatever. Excuse me, everybody. But like I said, the law, they're not playing with y'all. The prosecutors aren't playing. The judges ain't playing. They're getting tired of seeing, you know, you guys in front of them and in and out. And doing what y'all want because y'all got a little bit of money. I'm telling y'all, knock that shit off. Y'all gonna be fucked up in the game one day. But we gonna pay some bills. Be right back. Be Game Radio, all right?
Up out of there.
Ain't nothing but against the party.
Oh, shit. You done fucked up, man.
You done put two of America's most wanted in the same motherfucking place at the same motherfucking time.
Y'all niggas about to feel this.
Break out the champagne glasses and motherfucking condoms. Have one on us, all right?
I keep my hand on my gun, cause they got me on the run. Now I'm back in the courtroom, waiting on the outcome. Three Tupac is on the a nigga's mind. But at the same time, it seems they tryna take mine. So I'ma get smart and get the sense of this shit and put together a million march for some gangster shit.
So now they gotta play two multi-millionaire motherfuckers catch a case. Bitches get ready for the throwdown. The shit's about to go down. Fuck me and Snoop about to clash. I'm losing my religion. I'm vicious on these two pigeons. You might be deep in this game, but you got the rules missing. Niggas be acting like you're savage. They all get the cabbage. I got nothing but love for my niggas living life.
I got a pit named P. She nigga ring her. I got a house out in the hills right next to Chino. And I think I got a black Beamer. But my dream is to own a fly casino like Bugsy Siegel and do it all legal and get scooped up by the little homie in the Regal. It feel good to you, baby bubba. You see, this is for the G's and the keys, motherfucker.
Now follow as we ride. Motherfuck the rest. Two of the best from the west side. And I can make you famous. Niggas be dying for years. So how can they blame us? I live in fear of a felony. I never stop failing me. Motherfucking G. If you got a better flaunt, another woman. Two of them members, most wanted.
Judgment of it all. I feel like, at least me, we as a black people were always being judged, and with us knowing how it feels to be in that situation, I don't think it's right to be so quick to do it to someone else. And that's where most of the anger is coming from, because people are not separating the religion from the radicals that use the religion and take it out of context to do whatever it is that they want to do, which is what they do with the Bible, with, you know, anything. People will justify anything and make you believe anything that they need you to believe with, to believe and back up what they plan on doing. But that's not a part of the religion, and they were just out of control. That's all. And I don't think that we should, I don't think that we should stop it. I think that us stopping the mosque from being built is, it's kind of hypocritical to what we're what we allegedly stand for.
Which on that one, Ev, I'm not even going to assume, I'm just going to ask a stupid question, so to say, you agree?
I concur.
Wholeheartedly,
because, I mean, she made a very valid point just now, saying that to not allow them to build the mosque there is going against everything that we're allegedly supposed to stand for. And the thing, too, is that it's not even, it's not even on the World Trade Center site.
It's not in the area. Yeah.
It's in the area. And I've heard people say, oh, because they're going to cater to extremists and then they'll be right there. And then, listen, if these people are going to do, if anybody is going to plot and plan a terror attack on us, they're going to do it. And it doesn't matter whether there's
where?
A mafia or a Denny's or a Gap. It doesn't matter. These people are going to do this. Did we need a mosque there for them to do it in the first place? So
that
shit is ludicrous. That shit is stupid. Like I said earlier, that's like for people to, you know, have these feelings that they don't want a mosque in the World Trade Center area, like I said, would be for me to not ever want to step foot on a ship because so many of my ancestors was lost during the middle passage in slavery coming here. So, I mean, that makes no sense. Let them people go ahead, and if they can afford that place and it suits their needs and it can accommodate them, then let it be there. And if you really feel like, you know, they're up to something, then go to a mosque. Take your shoes off, observe, and see for yourself what's going on. I'm sure that real, true Muslims wouldn't mind you doing that.
No, they wouldn't. And you want to know what's crazy? My church denomination is Christian, and the elders, they travel overseas a lot. And this past summer, they went over to, I believe in Baghdad, if I'm not mistaken. One of them, I don't even want to say. But they went over into the Middle East, and you know they built a Christian church. And, of course, it was met with a lot of, you know, bad reviews, but, you know, they're not going about it the way that we are here, which is crazy. And
exactly.
If they can
and not even that. Not even that. How do you build a Christian church in an area that is predominantly Muslim?
Exactly. They
how
have
do you,
maybe
how do you do
a
that?
Total
New York
of
City
400.
Is a melting pot. Everybody's here. Everybody's here. And with that being said, you have to accommodate. You have to be accommodating. Real talk, they should put a mosque, a synagogue, a temple, and a Christian
everything
church
right
all
there.
On the top floor
see what
or
happens.
Whatever they build there on that site. How about that?
They should, and let them kill each other, because that's exactly
how about
what
that shit? How about that? Put everybody
how
up
how about
here.
It? We got, you know, anybody calling in on the line, they want to get through, just press the number one on your keypad so I see your hand go up. I'll let you get in on the room and say your piece. Let's see if we have anybody that's ready to get up on the line. Let's see if Dave the Smart Guy's come back. Dave, what's up?
Not much, man. I was just listening to that, though. You know, that's a pretty damn good idea, though. Instead of just saying which religion's better, why don't you just put them in all one damn building, okay? And then if you got a problem with that, then you should really just reevaluate why you're building that in the first place.
Yeah,
more
definitely.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be a community center, right? All right. You make one level a temple, the other one a church, and the other one a mosque. I mean,
and have a
whatever,
whole
okay.
holy building.
Yeah. I mean, they just make like a holy 7-Eleven.
Exactly. And look, we can even have a Buddhist temple in there too. We want the Sheikhs and we want the Sunni. We want them to come too because they get persecuted a lot for being Muslims and they're Indian. You know, they suffer that shit a lot too. They suffer that a lot. They get stopped. They, you know, everything that happens, you know, to Muslims or Arab looking, you know, people, they get it too. They get it too. So we can put them in there. Look, we could get a big fat Buddha statue and put that in there too. We can all rock out. Fuck it.
All be happy.
Wow. Okay, you guys. All right. It seems I finally the homie Jay. He's coming to the room. He's here to drop some. What's going on, Jay?
Not much, man. I just came from Queens. It's a long trip. As far as
all right, what's going on out there?
Oh man, no, I was just picking
something
up the phone
that makes
for
him tired.
But no, as far as that temple thing, I really think they should be allowed to put their temple wherever they want to. It doesn't make them terrorists just because they're close to where something bad happened. I don't think they needed a place close to the site the last time they did it anyway, so just let them put it wherever they want. But as for the people who want to fight about it, that's what America's built on. You being able to express yourself. So if they want to be mad, let them be mad. Let them bitch. You know, it's the American way. It'll give us something to see. We'll see them argue about it. We'll see the system at work, and we'll see if it really works, you know? So, you know, can't silence them because they just expressing their feelings on it, right? I'm a little tired of hearing about it from them. I see it all over Facebook and stuff like that, and I'm like, shut up. But, you know, otherwise, they got the right to put their temple there just as much as people got the right to object, so object away.
Mm-hmm. So you're, pardon me, so you're pretty much with it?
Yeah, I'm saying go ahead if they want to put it there. I mean, what difference does it make if they put it there or across town? It's here.
All right, so since we all, you know, we hear about it, we all caught up to date. What's up with that idiot down south wanting to schedule a big Quran burning and all of that?
It was horrible. I'm so ignorant. And now imagine if everybody overseas judged us by that idiot.
More or less, right? More or less. And that's a horrible thing. That's a horrible thing. And this is exactly what we're talking about with about radical, okay? Now, he is a Christian radical, and I'm sure he does not speak for the majority of Christians out there. As a matter of fact, people are coming out and denouncing this guy. I heard even entertainers are like, yo, come on, this guy's got to be kidding me. So, I mean, and he's a Christian, so, I mean, are we going to say now you're Christian? You see what I'm saying? So that's a double-edged sword right there. So you can see now how it would cut both ways and how it makes no sense.
It's the way of the land, and it's a blind eye that's turned for whatever reason. But
and
I was on Twitter.
And real talk, Christianity is one of the main religions that are still going that still is going abroad, trying to bring Christ to what they deem savages or indigenous people, or people that don't know the law, i.e., native to their own land, who have their own belief and spiritual systems in place. And what they do is they call it missionary work.
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, come on, that's a bit crazy.
I saw a great quote on Twitter concerning that, by the way, and I thought it was hilarious. I retweeted it. I don't know if you caught it, but this guy said, I wish that there was a book that the Americans valued dearly that so I could burn it, but the only book that they care about is Facebook.
That's crazy.
But that was kind of
clever. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. And fucked up.
That's awful.
Pretty effed up, but still clever.
And fucked up. Yeah, you see how people, you know, view us?
That's awful.
Now, and see, and that's how, you know, most people, they, you know, they view us off of, you know, it is like that dude, I think, in Florida or Texas, wherever the hell he's from.
He's bad shit crazy.
You know, guys like that, you know, and guys who rant nonsense like Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, like people like, you know, like that, and these people from these far countries, they see these people on TV. They hear these people on the radio. They hear or they read what these people are saying to the papers, and they automatically assume that's all us. And come on, a while ago, especially once 9/11 happened, you know, we saw one, you know, A-Rap at the store. Got it. Let's not front. You know,
yeah.
We all did it. You know, so the whole
we all looked at
it. Even me and that was going back and forth today on Facebook saying we seen Bin Laden on the ass selling handbags. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we all do it. It's just it's the way of the world that we're living in, and it's a fucked up thing. But we got a few minutes left. We got to take a quick break. So those, like I said, try to call in when they're listening, whichever. Hit the one in your keypad. I see your hand up. Get on there. Get your shout-outs going on. And we'll come back, and anybody also update you what they've been up to, and we talk a little bit about Tupac and all that other good stuff. So we'll be back in a little bit, going to pay some bills and all that good stuff and get some water. All right, we'll be right back in a minute.
It's your girl, Cherry Johnson, and I'm feeling good tonight. I'm sitting here next to my boy, Brooklyn Black, and we're in the pregame.
Change? Shit. I guess change is good for any of us. Whatever it takes for any of y'all niggas to get up out the hood. Shit, I'm with you. I ain't mad at you. Got nothing but love for you. Do your thing, boy. Change? Shit. I guess change is good for any of us. Whatever it takes for any of y'all niggas to get up out the hood. Shit, I'm with you. I ain't mad at you. Got nothing but love for you. Do your thing, boy. Yeah. All the homies that I ain't talking to, well, I'ma send this one out for y'all. Know what I mean? Cause I ain't mad at you. Heard y'all tearing up shit out there. Kicking up dust, giving a motherfuck. Yeah, nigga. Cause I ain't mad at you. Now we was once two niggas of the same kind. Quick to holler at a hoochie with the same line. You was just a little smaller, but you still rolled. Got set to YA and hit the hood swole. Remember when you had a Jerry Curl, didn't quite learn. On the block with your Glock tripping off churn. Collect calls to the tilt, saying how you changed. Oh, you a Muslim now, no more no game. Heard you might be coming home, just got bail. Wanna go to the mob, don't wanna chase tail. It seems I'm off my little homie, he's a changed man. It's a pen and now no sending, it's a game plan. When I talk about money, all you see is the struggle. When I tell you I'm living large, you tell me it's trouble. Congratulations on the wedding. I hope your wife knows she got a player for life. And that's no bullshitting. I know we grew apart, you probably don't remember. I used to be for your sister, but never went a bender. And I can see us after school, we bomb. On the first motherfucker with the wrong shit on. Now the whole shit changed, and we don't even kick it. Got a big money scheme, and you ain't even with it. Knew in my heart you was the same motherfucker bad. Go toe to toe when it's time for growth, you got a brother's back. And I can't even trip, cause I'm just laughing at you. You trying hard to maintain, then go ahead, cause I ain't mad at you. Mad at you. Cousins fighting, playing dozens, old neighborhood buzzing, knowing that we buzz it. Used to catch us on the roof or behind the stairs. I'm getting rich and I reminisce on all the time we said. Aside from moving and grinding, wasn't nothing on our mind. In time, we learned to live a life of crime. We grinded back to a time was much too young enough. I caught a felony loving the way it does flow. And even though we separated, you said that you wait. Don't get nobody no coochie while I be locked up state. I kiss my mama goodbye. From my lonely eyes, said I'll return, but I gotta fight to fix the ride. Don't shed a tear, cause mama, I ain't happy here. I feel proud, no more smiles for a couple years. They got me going mad, I'm knocking busters on their backs. In my cell, picking hell, I know one day I'll be back. It's
get fucked down. The homies wanna kick it, but I'm slapping at you, cause you's a down ass bitch, and I ain't mad at you. Went from a nobody nigga to the big man on the block. He's Mr. Local Celebrity, addicted to moving keys, most hated by enemies, escaping the luxury. See, first you was our nigga, but you made it, so the choice is made. Now we gotta slay you while you faded. In the younger days, so full of pain with a weapon's blade. Getting so high off that bomb, hoping we make it to the better days. Cause crime pays, and in time, you'll find a rhyme ablaze. You'll feel the fire from the niggas in my younger days. So many changed on me, so many try to plot. But I keep a Glock atop my head, when will it stop? Tell God return me to my essence, cause even as an adolescent, I refuse to be a convalescent. So many questions and they ask me if I'm still down. I moved up out of the ghetto, so I ain't real now. They got so much to say, but I'm just laughing at you. You niggas just don't know, but I ain't mad at you.
Somebody had said in the first, you know, the first portion of your show, man, and they was talking about, you know, about the, you know, the players hitting the building, and that shit made me want to get a rifle or go over there, go this, that, and third. So now, as a young Muslim American, you know what I'm saying, I'm not even talking about no music shit right now. I'm talking about, as far as me being a Muslim and what's going on in America right now, I'm actually a little frustrated with the state of Muslim and non-Muslim relations, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm an American, but at the same time, I don't agree with a lot of shit we do over there, because if them niggas came over here, you know what I'm saying, and occupied America, you know what I'm saying, and started coming in here and stealing oil and stealing whatever resources we had here in America, we're going to fight too. You know what I'm saying? We're going to fight too. We over there in other people's countries, occupying their territory and telling them what to do with their shit. You know what I'm saying? So as far as overseas Muslims and how they feel about America, they got good reason to feel some kind of resentment. You know what I'm saying? Because we the biggest bullies in the whole world. You know what I'm saying? We run around bullying everybody. You know what I mean? So if I'm here in America and some dude that don't even speak English come over here and talk about, yeah, stay in your house, you can't do nothing, don't be outside after this time, we taking your oil, we taking your money, we running down on your bitches and all that. I'm fighting too. I'm setting bombs all on me. I'm going for it. Because you ain't going to come over here and do that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that I advocate terrorism or any kind of terrorist act, because as a Muslim, you know what I'm saying, Once you see another person that claim to be Muslim committing an act like that, that nullifies their Islam. To me, you're not Muslim in my eyes if you're killing innocent people and kids and you're doing shit in the name of Allah when it don't got nothing to do with Islam. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about that situation. But at certain points, you know, when I'm sitting here, I'm watching CNN, I'm watching this fucking dude talking about he's going to burn 200 Korans, and then I'm watching this other fucking dude doing all this other wild shit with the masjid by the World Trade Center. Let them people build that house of worship over there, man. They ain't fucking with nobody. You know what I'm saying? Let them people build that house of worship over there, because if that was a church, wouldn't nobody have nothing to say.
That's right. Indeed.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I wish people would stop being so fucking ignorant and actually listen to the Dawah and go to the masses and pick up these pamphlets that the brothers is outside passing around all day in Brooklyn and shit like that, man, and learn something about Islam instead of being ignorant to it and just going with what the boogeyman is telling you to think. You know what I'm saying? That shit bothers me, lad. That shit really bothers me.
I'm glad you called in. I'm so glad you called in. Real talk.
That shit bothers me, bro.
Hold on, we got another call out at the 845-7524. What's good? You live on pregame ready.
Yeah, what's good, Black? What's going on, everyone?
What's going on?
Chilling, yo, this whole.
Yeah, finally, man, we almost forgot what your number look like, man. You ain't been here in a minute.
Yeah, I've been gone for a little bit. Out on vacation, but I'm back now. Topic tonight.
Right, well, right now we're on the whole 9/11. 9/11 thing, and the brother Pro was talking on how he's really not feeling society. Whoever that is, hope he's feeling better. you know, he's not feeling.
Blowing
the whole,
that kush, my dudes.
Oh, you too.
Enjoy
huh?
it.
Blow it in the air.
So pretty much right now we're just getting on the whole with the Muslim building the mosque near Ground Zero, with the Christian extremists burning Korans. You know,
yeah, that
dude
is crazy, son. That dude should get shot in the mouth trying to go out there trying to burn 200 Korans. What's wrong with that?
Yo, because you know what's the worst part is that this dude, he don't even understand like the shit storm that he's creating overseas. He's putting more American troops in danger by doing that.
Word out.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Niggas is out there right now protesting, pissed the fuck off. I got brothers out in Yemen. You know, so I have brothers, Muslim brothers in other countries that I correspond with, man. Niggas is mad about that shit, blood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That shit is not, come on, blood. Like, come on, man. I mean, boom. The brother was saying earlier how the ultimate goal of Islam overseas is to create an Islamic state. You know what I'm saying? And this, that, and the third, and they're willing to do whatever and take whatever measures to make the whole world, da da da, and get rid of all Western. That's bullshit.
That's what the extremists believe, man.
That's an extremist belief. That's not an Islamic belief.
I didn't say it was an Islamic belief. I said it was an extremist belief.
Well, it is an extremist belief.
Every religion got extremists, you know what I mean?
That's what my son was saying earlier.
Everyone out there be wilding, so you can't just be holding one group responsible, you know what I mean? These dudes ain't even about that. Everyone that's really Muslim will tell you, they ain't about that. They don't support that.
You know what's scary to me? You know what's scary to me is that I got a little brother right now. My little brother right now, he in Afghanistan right now. Matter of fact, he just came out the desert. He in Germany now, but they're going to send him back to the desert. You know what I'm saying? My little brother over there right now, and because of this fucking dude in Florida burning Korans, that nigga could get booked.
So that was crazy.
What
yeah.
the fuck? So I feel for my troops because my brother's in the Navy and I got another brother in the Army. You know, my family is a military family. So I love my country. I'm a patriot, you know what I'm saying? But I love God, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not, you know what I'm saying? And if anybody, whoever it may be, you know what I'm saying, is obstructing people from worshiping God how they want to do it, then that's wrong, brother. That's wrong.
Yeah. That's right.
You can't build a mosque.
857-4302 is the number. We talking, actually, we pretty much wrapping up right now on the whole 9/11 thing, so I'm going to give everyone down the line a chance to get their one last thought out, and then we're going to move into the last subject and ride out with that one. Lady Steele, since you're just coming back to the table, your final thought the whole 9/11, 9 years later?
I think I've said enough about it. Just let them do what they got to do, that's all.
Yeah, like I said before, they can put their mosque or their masjid anywhere they want to. It's all about their belief in their God and how they want to do their shit. Let them do it. We doing ours. Christians is doing them. Baptists is doing them. Protestants is doing them.
It's the
so,
same God. The same God.
It is the same God.
It's all different paths to the same place, more or less.
There it is. Let's talk about Tupac now.
So that's what we're doing. We talk about Pat Pop the last 25 minutes, 347-857-4302. We're coming up on the 14-year anniversary. Like, yo, you got
wow.
to remember where you were September
yes.
13th, 1996?
Yes. Yep. I was sitting right in front of the TV when the homie got shot.
I was in sixth grade.
Whoa. And then when they said that shit, yo, when they said that shit on MTV News, I was like, damn, so I felt my whole hard drive.
Mhm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was hanging out. Actually, I was home with my girls. We was chilling. We were smoking, drinking, you know, doing the ladies' night how we do. And real talk, we had heard that Pac got shot. And us, we was like, again? Because we just so used to shit like that happening to that dude. So we was like, again? We was like, ah, he going to be all right. He going to be all right. But, yo, after like 4 or 5 days in the hospital and not coming out of, you know, not regaining consciousness and back surgeries, it started to get a little like, yo, this, you know, it started to become unreal and real at the same time. Like, yo, he's going to really fucking die. And then once he died, I'm not even going to lie, I cried. I cried like a baby because I couldn't believe that somebody that had that was so talented and had so much potential and was so full of life could die basically like a dog in the street because that's how it went down. He died in the street.
Word.
In the gutter. I don't care what nobody said. He died in the gutter, period.
Word. Word. And the way they did him was really, it wasn't like, to me, you see, like, the way I seen it, I always seen Pac, if he did go out, he, you know what I'm saying, he would go out like, it would be like a blaze, you know what I'm saying, like him shooting back, you know, something like
that,
like a movie.
Funk shit.
Instead of he got shot down like a fucking dog, like you said, he's sitting in his car, he know he's about to get shot down, he know shit's going to have to pop off.
Yeah, but so I think he knew something was up because all of us, and then he was a street cat. All right, all of us got spidey sense. All of us get that thing that's like your company fucking right. And you look at that picture that they said they took right before he got shot. You looking at
like
nigga, ah, something was up.
Yeah, he looked all scary and shit.
Something was up. That nigga just ain't look like a nigga that just came from Las Vegas having a good time.
He looked like he was trying to make it home that night. You know what I'm saying? And the niggas booked that nigga. That nigga sure knew what was popping. Shook knew what was popping.
Shook set him up.
I believe that shit. I believe that because they said Pac was getting tired. Shook kept that nigga in the studio just record. Pac was getting tired and he wasn't really trying to promote so much that gang life. He was a gangster, but he wasn't trying to promote that gang shit.
Pac was trying to be all his activist shit.
He was starting to find out what
his music stay in that direction.
Yeah, they said that he was starting to find out what the industry was really about and the politics behind it, and it was messing with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he was
kind of
going against the grain.
Mm-hmm. They got that documentary about him, and it was saying how he started feeling all paranoid in the last months of his life, like everybody was trying to get a piece of him. And I can only imagine being, like, the biggest celebrity rapper. Like, that dude was like an enigma, man, because he wasn't, like, a gangster. He wasn't an activist. He wasn't a thug. Like, he was just a bunch of things mixed into one. So it's like that's a bunch of different people that you touching. Like, he was almost like the first, like, pariah of hip-hop music. He was just...
Yeah.
He transcended music, you know what I'm saying, and became an icon in black culture.
Yeah. In all culture, because the nigga stayed on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so real talk. We lost that.
And you know what? And don't get me wrong. I'm from New York, right? Biggie is my favorite rapper because, you know, I'm from New York. He's from New York. And it's just Biggie. You can't say anybody's better than Biggie. I'm not going to say that. When I listen to music, when I listen to Biggie, and when I listen to Pac, it's not the same feeling. You know what I'm saying? When I listen to Tupac, I get like this ill, like, it's like a tingling sense. This shit is like, it makes you feel his music. You know what I'm saying? With Big, you listen to his music. Pac, you feel his shit.
Yeah, awesome foresight.
Right. That's a good way to put that.
Now, this question here, and I want you guys to be honest, take a split second, think about it. If Pac was still here, who wouldn't be today?
50. 50 and the whole G-Unit.
Ja Rule.
Yeah, definitely.
But Ja Rule isn't even today anyway, so he doesn't count.
Yeah, he's gone anyway.
You can thank Eminem for that one.
Yeah.
Curse his career, done. He put a bullet in this motherfucker's career.
I don't really know.
I would say Waka Flocka and all them corny ass.
Waka Flocka is a retard. He is another one.
Well, you know what? You know what? You know what?
Your boy should be flipping motherfucking burgers.
But now check this out. Check this out.
Did you not see his ignorant self? Oh.
Yes, that nigga's dumb ignorant, but check this out.
106.
That nigga is... I just saw the clip on YouTube. I swear to God, like 5 minutes ago, I just watched this. This nigga is so stupid. So now check me out, though.
Man, those were tough.
If the niggas was still alive, the down south shit would still be going on. Like Waka Flocka and them niggas would still been on because hip hop comes in circles. You know what I'm saying? Like New York had it. You know what I'm saying? Then Nelly in the Midwest had it. Then the West Coast had it. Now it's down south. It's gonna come back to New York. It's all in a circle. Everything is in a cycle. So it's like. Them niggas would have still popped off. Flocka and Gucci on them niggas would have still. They probably would have been doing songs with Pac because if Pac could do a song with Bone Thugs, why wouldn't he do a song with one of them niggas?
Because these niggas are ignorant. They don't say shit. Tupac was about education. He wasn't about that ya-ya-ya ringtone rap. That would have never went off.
But what I'm saying is, who knows if Pac would have changed with the times, you know what I'm saying? Maybe that was just, no, I'm saying, maybe his music would have changed with the times. Like, you can't just be an artist and be popular and not do songs with nobody. That's not going
to
happen.
You don't have to dumb yourself down either.
Nah, it's not dumb yourself down, but if you have to change with the times.
What I'm saying is you could collab with the South. There's just certain Southern rappers that you collab with and some that you just don't.
Yeah,
where you're crossing over into uncharted territory that's going to make you get into that gutter ATL strip club versus, you know.
Now, speaking as a hip-hop artist, can I speak as an artist for a second? You know what I'm saying? Like, me personally, I would fucking do a record with Waka Flocka tomorrow if you asked me to.
Yeah, but that's also because he has come for the shine.
You know, but you're not going to do a track with him because of his lyrical fucking content.
Yeah,
no,
you're not
going to
ask him to spit a bar because
But you know what? Black, you know that you know me as an artist, as a person. You know I'm not going to do a track with him because he's stupid nice. I'm going to do a track with him because he's Waka Flocka and I like his beats and shit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Tupac wouldn't have to do that because he's Waka Flocka.
No, well, Tupac is not me and I'm not Tupac. What I'm saying is, like, me as an up-and-coming artist, I'm willing to do a song with anybody that I like their music. You know what I'm saying? Not saying Waka Flocka's dumb whack or whatever. He is dumb whack, but I like the nigga's beats. He got good energy. He makes good songs and people like his shit. So you got to think of yourself. You got to think more business-minded than, I'm a rapper, man. I can't fuck with this nigga. He whack. You know what I'm saying? Tupac would have probably been that kind of nigga. Y'all ain't fuck with that nigga. He's stupid whack. Not me. You know what I'm saying? But that's just...
You can't afford to. That's why, though.
I can't afford to. Plus, you know what I'm saying? We're in a different kind of time right now where musically...
What you just said, you know, now, was it a matter of... Now, you're saying now, Pac, he didn't really, what's the word, jeopardize his integrity by just collaborating with anybody. Now, how many songs y'all know Pac did with somebody else? And if he did, it was, like, some real great shit. Like, come on, we got Scarface, Too Short, Drake.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
And he wasn't known to play by the rules anyway. Even if someone saw him, he had to jump on a Waka Flocka track to be hot. It would have been, like, new.
Yeah, but then what about jumping on the Waka Flocka track just because you genuinely think Waka Flocka's kind of high? You know what I'm saying?
But
like,
then you smoke yourself retarded if you think he's
not because, see, now here's the thing. Why would I be retarded? Because you know what? To me, right, Pac, what he represented was a nation of people like myself that when we get out into the world, you know what I'm saying, it's like it's glory or death. I'm going to win or I'm going to lose bad. You know what I'm saying? And to me, any artist that I feel has that same kind of energy, you know what I'm saying? I like that shit. You know what I'm saying? I like music that makes me feel like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? So any artist that I feel the same type of energy or the same type of feeling that I listen to when I listen to Pac, then it's like, yeah, boom. You know what I'm saying? I fuss with that shit. I like that old Let's Do It shit and all that shit. I jump around all crazy in my house listening to that shit. You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I mean? But, you know what I mean? Like my man Black said, I'm not going to jeopardize my integrity as an artist, you know what I mean? But I fuck with that shit. And I fuck with Tupac stupid hard.
Okay.
And I think Tupac would have fucked with them niggas.
I don't think
so. Also, too, you know, a lot of people, yeah, they, you know, they give them that recognition as being active, but this is just how I see it. You guys probably agree, probably don't. Pac is also a pioneer as far as movies, because no one before Pac, yeah, we had the hip-hop movies, we had Crush Groove and Breaking and all that stuff, but before Pac, there was no rapper who was able to go back and forth between acting roles, drop a gangster album, come back and play a cop until Ice-T did it now.
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying? No one was able to do that, so as far as rappers making that jump into acting, if it wasn't for Pac, I don't think Will Smith, LL Cool J, none of them dudes would have had an acting career.
50, yeah.
Especially
50. I think 50 Cent's whole career is based on the blueprint of Tupac. Like, honestly.
I think Will Smith still would have had a career.
Of course. Will Smith would have always been rich, and he was just destined for that because he's just so versatile.
I don't know. I think Jada.
Yeah, he wouldn't have married Jada, though.
Nah, he wouldn't have married Jada. Pac would have been on that. But what I'm saying is that Will Smith, Will Smith.
That was Pac's old girl anyway.
That's
yeah,
what I'm saying.
And they loved each other. She still loves him.
That's what I'm saying.
If you ever see
her
talk about Tupac, she still loves him.
She be getting all emotional and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, but that's what I'm saying. Yo, Will Smith would eventually, he's so autistic that he would eventually got tired of rapping and started acting anyway.
He was always going to be on the same route.
Yeah, you know, he's like that nigga from Outkast, you know what I'm saying? That nigga just got bored with music and just started doing other shit, writing musicals, doing movies. Yeah, Andre 3000. You know, he don't even rap no more. That nigga just sings and plays the guitar all the time. So
he's some perpetual shit, man. He really is.
I mean, but what's the point? Nobody wants quality music anymore. Like, you complain about it not being quality, but then you buy all the fucking bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. And then the guys really like B.O.B. and these other dudes come out and they're really trying to make quality music and nobody listens to them.
Nobody wants to. I don't know if you guys
rather,
been like...
Pretty boy swag. I'd rather listen to that bullshit. I'm sorry. This man should be carrying my flat screen out to my fucking car. I'm making music. Okay? He's proof that you don't need any kind of lyrical talent. Just some good beats and a semi-catchy hook to really make
it
in this fucking town.
Even
bad.
The beats are crap nowadays.
No, that shit breaks my heart, though, because I know dudes that are trying to come up, that are fucking putting it out there, they're putting their heart and soul into their fucking lyrics, and they can't catch a motherfucking break. And this little asshole caught a break because of YouTube and a catchy motherfucking ringtone?
Are you talking about the fucking... Wait, hold on. Are you talking about the fucking... Oh, my God, this... What's the new one that's out? Fucking teach me how to Dougie. Teach me how to... Oh, my God.
I didn't even know
how to Oh, my God. When I heard that, I was like, this is the fucking worst. This is it right here? This is what this is coming to?
I don't know.
So pretty much,
I don't know. I think I like Teach Me How to Dougie better than Pretty Boy Swag, but...
Alright, so it's pretty much safe to say... It's pretty much safe to say, if Pac was still here, the state of hip-hop would be what?
Way different.
Full of a lot less buffoonery.
Mm-hmm. Different but the same.
Elaborate on that one, Ed.
In fact, Pac wasn't really known for collaborating with other rappers. He collaborated with R&B. He always did, you know, had John B on the hook, like you just had I Ain't Mad At You or that
was
other
Was he a nasty nigga?
He always had
Casey
and JoJo
on
his shit. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean... Because nobody was really on Pac's level. Nobody was saying what Pac said. He had his own niche. He had his own thing. They couldn't be radical and fun at the same time. He could do that shit. They were either or. He was both and then some.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was both and then some. He reminded you, he made you feel like he could be your brother, your cousin, your friend, your homie. That's what he made you feel like with his music.
Well, yourself.
Just with his music alone. Even when I first seen that nigga in Juice, and that was really like one of his first main acting gigs. Real quick, you could see even how somebody in the hood, how that gun, once they get that shit in their hand, how it changes their whole perspective. It changed his whole perspective. He went from somebody, from nobody to somebody. And he made that shit so fucking real. It was like looking at the shit that goes down in your own hood every day.
Yeah. Yeah, for real, though.
And that's what's missed, because he hit it from the acting point. He hit it from the music point. He was even a poet. He did poetry. He did all of it. He was a comedian. He was all of that. He was everything. And he died in the street like a dog. To me, it still escapes me why. And it still escapes me how motherfuckers from space could zoom down right now and see me and listen to my fucking conversation, but they still can't find who killed this man.
It's because of those LAPD cops involved with Paru at fucking news at the time. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. There was a couple of fucking dirty cops that was fucking, they had their pockets lined by Suge at the time, and fucking, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
They're actually saying like the whole East Coast West Coast war was engineered and like it was manufactured pretty much.
Yeah. Oh no, it was that way. I mean, you do two things though when you do that though. Okay, you create a reason for bodies to start popping up so you can actually hide a real hidden agenda, and that war in the meantime will also like it'll generate record sales. I mean, because let's face it, I mean, nothing's better for business than war, okay? I mean, it doesn't have to be a war between two nations. It'd be a war between different factions. But when it comes down to it, nothing is better to stimulate revenue than war. And so that's why it was created.
Yeah, true. Good point. These motherfuckers got paid big time on that.
We got about 10 minutes left. What do you guys? I know you know once we get into this, these heavy and these good combos, it seems like the time goes and anything like that. So, Lady Steele, since you're about to be inducted into this crazy promotion company, why don't you let people know about that, about this issue that's going on Thursday, right?
Oh yes, okay. Brooklyn Star Life. It's a promo, up and coming promotional team, where they will be promoting various events around Brooklyn. I'm going to be at Secrets this Thursday, which is 724 Nostrand, between Park Place and Prospect. That's in Brooklyn. And they're going to be recruiting Star Life Bunnies, as they're calling them, which is a group of girls that they want to take around with them to the clubs. I also have a fashion show that I'll be working tomorrow. It's Edwin D'Angelo's Fashion for Autism. It's a benefit. It's going to be held at the Waldorf Astoria. And I'm also working for an investment company, which is Uvent. You can check all these things out on Facebook. I'm going to have to send via the information so that you guys can see it. But it's a good investment opportunity for those looking to make some money. And that's...
diversify your bonds and shit,
All of that.
she'll definitely have the information. Of course, as she just said, y'all want to check out Throwback Thursday. It's going down at Club Secret, 724 Notion Ave between Park and Prospect.
That's where I'm going to be.
she'll definitely be there, so go there, check it out. You can pretty much Google or MapQuest directions there for anybody out of state, upstate, who wants to attend this event. Also, you can, I guess, for all information, you can holler at her or Bobby T at 347-475-2885. Bro, what's new in your business, man? You in the studio, you got a new mixtape coming out. What's up?
Yeah, man, actually, man, I be on Facebook just promoting little things here and there, but I'm kind of keeping quiet about it until, I finish up what I'm doing. But I got a couple of things going on, man. We just shot the video for half a mil, man. It's on YouTube right now. Gritty Life Music, Pro Dillinger featuring A-Dash and Shinobi. It's actually more of like a short movie, like thriller, But it's a prequel to an actual film that we're shooting right now. And my mixtape is called Exit 13, Welcome to Rockland County. It'll be dropping October 13th, actually. So everybody just be aware of that. Hit me up on Facebook, Pro Dillinger at Facebook. I'm just like, grinding, man. I'm in the studio like once or twice every week, man, in between what I'm doing up here. So, that's all I got to say. I ain't doing no shows or nothing like that, man. When the music drop, that's when I start doing my, I'm going to try to set up a little college tour down at Eastern Seaboard or something like that. But
That's
it, man. October 13th, Exit 13, Welcome to Rockland County, Pro Dillinger.
Okay, And if you don't know where Exit 13 is, you haven't been up there, so don't even ask.
No, you haven't right? been. Don't even ask, man. Welcome to Rockland County, Gritty Life Music.
Well, Hope, man, where you been at? Because you've been MIA, so you had to be doing something. You got to be up to something, man. What are you doing nowadays?
Oh, man, I was just out there enjoying my summer, bro. I just got back from Vegas.
All right.
Did a little week out there, enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm back home, back on my grind. It's about to be a cold winter. So you already know what it is.
Damn. You didn't steal no tigers, did you?
Do I have it?
Said you didn't steal no tigers or nothing, did you?
Nah. I ain't trying to be mean. I say that shit for the white boy.
You can't even ask him that because you know what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Exactly.
Even on probation.
All I got to say is y'all all got to take that trip out there, man. It's just crazy. I'm trying to go back.
How cold is the winter getting, though?
What happened?
How cold is the winter getting, homie?
It was a little cold at night. You know, that shit kind of threw me off a little bit.
Yeah. Okay,
it's
all right.
Weather over there, though. It's dry weather.
Where, Vegas?
Yeah.
I got to take a trip out there, homie. I'm going to fuck around and get lost out there.
All right, so Dave, the smart guy, what's new with you, man?
All right. I finally, I got a final format set for my radio show coming up, The Breakdown. Again, what I'm going to be doing is, though, I'm going to be answering questions, though. I'm not really going to offer my personal opinion on a lot of things, though, because I'm here to just clarify a lot of shit. I'm trying to, again, like I said before, I'm still trying to bridge the gap, so regular people, though, can really have a better idea as to what the fuck is going on. I mean, because as Americans, we need to stay informed. We can't just trust these politicians. We shouldn't. I mean, they promise us a lot of shit, and they ain't delivering on shit. So it's on us to keep these motherfuckers in check. And by doing that, you got to stay informed. You got to be on top of your shit. You know something, though? I mean, there's no more dangerous weapon to a politician than an informed voter. And that's what I'm trying to create right now, because these motherfuckers is getting too out of control.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
All right, so that's what's up. So, Jay, what's new with you, man? What are you up to,
guys? Oh, man, as usual, working, always. I'm on my grind. We got a new system up and running, and this hell training me. But that's basically it right now. I've been real focused because if I don't get my store ready, we'll fall behind.
All right, so pretty much everybody's on their grind. Everybody's doing their thing. Tune in next week where, of course, we'll find some dumbass between now and next Friday to talk about and cut ass on and everything like that. Musical guests, I don't know, hit me up, brooklynblk@gmail.com. You know, check me out on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. Of course, make sure I have somebody who's part of this. Yeah, Del Payaso Play on Twitter. Big shout out to everybody who was part of the roundtable discussion, Ab, Lady Steele, and the smart guy as always, Pro Dillinger, Jay. You know, you guys call in and what you talk about, you know, we bullshit, you know, but we get out there, we inform people because, you know, just not too long ago, it's like, you know, I heard your show and, you know, y'all smoking good shit, so just to get that, I know, you know, we doing our job and all that stuff. Like I keep saying, check us out, all suggestions, music. If you want me to try to get somebody, like I said, let me know. BrooklynBLK@gmail.com. Hit up the Facebook. Check out everybody else, and I'll see you guys next Saturday. I ain't speaking getting ready, and we up out of here. Peace.